Hello there, beautiful, wonderful people. You are about to hear session zero for the new Dorkspawn show, The Kings of Mahat. This is a six-part story set in the Fallout universe using the Fallout TTRPG system. If you are a regular listener to the show, you know how stupid, bonkers, feral I am about the Fallout universe. I love this world so much. So when we were lucky enough to get a message from Modiphius asking us if we wanted to run a short six-part show set in the Fallout universe using their system, I almost died. I was so excited. In the episode today, we are going to talk to truly the most beautiful cast imaginable, who you meet in a second, and we talk about what they want in the show, what they don't want in the show. We do safety checks here, and then we go on and we talk about our characters and also kind of the world and the setting. This is obviously set in New York because I had to get Dylan involved somehow, and Dylan refuses to play anything that's outside of New York City. But thank you so much for being here. I hope you are at least half excited as I am. This is a really great show. As of doing this session zero, we've recorded two episodes, and it owns bones, gang. I appreciate y'all. Gonna give you a billion kisses. See you on the other side, baby. Welcome to the wasteland. And then there's like a cool, like, wind sound effect. You get it.
Good afternoon, gamers. Welcome back. Today we're going to discuss establishing kink at tabletop spaces. The do's and the don'ts.
What I think I might do is I might post-record a clean intro for this and then just start it with a... Hi, and then everyone.
Robin, that would be lying.
Yeah, are you kind of all editing is lying?
I'm kind of lying is the thing. Wait, I mean, everyone's gotten the scripts that I kind of wrote and sent out to everyone.
Yeah, I made some last minute changes, but I don't think it's going to affect anything.
And Nick and Candace and I, we just kind of like swapped every third line, so it's going to be wild. Oh,
we're popcorn reading.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this session zero of our Fallout game. I have some beautiful, wonderful people here with me. And to introduce them all, I do have an icebreaker question. We have talked a little bit about characters, but we will have a proper talk about characters later. So this is just going to be us saying our hi hellos. So I'll start with me, and then I'll popcorn it to someone.
I can't believe this.
The icebreaker question, because I have the objectively correct answer, and I can't have anyone steal the objectively correct answer. What is the hottest job to have in the post-apocalypse, is our question.
The hottest?
The
hottest,
sexiest.
Do you actually
sexiest,
mean, like, sexiest job to have?
Sexiest job.
Okay.
And it is to be a courier. Unfortunately, Fallout New Vegas aside, being a postman in the post-apocalypse is the hottest, coolest thing that you could possibly be. Hi, my name is Robin. My pronouns are primarily they. But if you're driving through the Midwest and someone asks who I am, you can say he. That's fine. And I'm going to popcorn it over to Candace. Candace.
Yes.
Introduce yourself. Answer my evil question.
The answer for me is a librarian. Post-apocalyptic librarian.
Ooh.
Who is the keeper of all knowledge.
An archivist.
That is a very low-key form of massive amounts of power. And also, I feel like there's a good chance that that person is a little kinky. They're like a switch, right? Like, they can kind of just do whatever they need to do for the people of their town.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that. That reflects who I am as a person. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I've been saying a sprinkle of he, and I like the way that sounds, but also I feel like a little bit more he than a sprinkle is probably good, too.
A sprinkle or a splash?
Yeah.
A dollop?
Yeah, a dollop.
Yes!
That's it right there. Thank you,
oh
Sarah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. The correct.
Smear a he on an everything bagel, please.
Perfect. Who are we popcorning over this wonderful question to?
I'm going to popcorn over to Nick.
Oh, goodness. Hello, what's going on? I'm Nick Meyer. I'm a voice actor and a resident freak. And my pronouns are they, he. You can use any of them, and I won't swing on you for it. I think the sexiest job in a post-apocalyptic world is a sanitation worker.
That's an uphill battle, buddy.
Sexy. Fascinating.
Because you don't, it's an uphill battle. But let me tell you, when it gets stinky, you'll want to see me. You know what I'm saying?
And that's sexy. Yeah. That's sexy.
Yeah. That, to alleviate an issue that all of us have suffered, I'm right here. I'm here as if I'm like, I'm the one who's shoveling shit in 2232. And I popped one over to Sarah.
Oh, hello. I'm Sarah. Sarah is coffee on the internet everywhere except for one place. What a secret. And my pronouns are they, them, as far as you know. And let's see. I feel like the sexiest job is not supported by the Fallout franchise. I feel like the Fallout franchise has tried to spend every game convincing us of the opposite of this, and it's not true. Doctor is the sexiest in the wasteland.
Yeah.
Because getting your fingers up on a wound and being like, oh, how did you do this? What happened to you? You're in a dark tent. It's quiet. There's grunts of pain. Come on now. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. They have your life in their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need that.
They keep trying to make
so
them old
bad.
Or dumb. No.
Good.
And I'm gonna kick it over to our fantastic Dylan.
Hello, I'm Dylan Apelian. My pronouns are your pronouns, so you can mirror those back at me. I'm also known as Super Dylan if you're looking for me on the internet. And my answer to sexiest job in the post-apocalypse is guy on a porch with a gun who knows where stuff is. I think that that's a
quest
crucial
giver.
Job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're just like knows directions. It's like, which way to that town? It's like, bet you'd like to know. You got any rations in there? and just sits on the porch with a gun, probably has a like sort of sickly dog, and just waits there for someone to pass by and is like, yeah, I know where you need to go. What do you got for me? And that is a hot job.
Cool.
He's
like
got
it.
A porch, so he's a homeowner.
Yeah.
That is.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Robin, I was mad at you for hitting us with an icebreaker, but that was good. I forgive you.
Solid.
Very good.
What?
What's up? What? Say your piece.
I have a couple of pieces.
Good.
Don't good. Call me out for making a bad joke.
Great.
Hey, Robin. Good. Sharks. That's
sharks.
All I have to say. Sharks. For 40% of my company, you can forget I ever said that.
You're so brave.
Yeah, yeah.
You're so brave.
You're so brave
for that joke. You're so brave.
Yeah, I thought I'd workshop. Just spitballing here.
We are having our session zero for our Fallout TTRPG game by Modiphius. Because this session zero, we're going to go over things like safety checks, things that we want in this game. We're going to do a bit of a tonal triangle to figure the tone that we want. And we're going to talk about the setting, and then we're going to talk about our characters before we play. Very excited about it. So we're not going to do all of the things that I never do. So I don't want to touch even Fallout system. I don't want to touch any of the like slaver, racism, anything like that that keeps far enough away. Homophobia, transphobia, sexual assault, all of that stuff is very far away. We're talking more about the niche things that it's like, ooh, don't want to be touching that. That's a thing that I don't like. If you don't want to say it, you can just message me after and that's also fine. And then I will inform everyone separately. This is just so we are all on the same basis. Normally there are sheets for this, but I think that sheets don't really do this justice. We are all talking, and communication, I always find, is a more powerful safety tool than any pre-listed thing. And this is all a thing that I will write down, and then we'll have a little quick sheet. Is there anything that anyone is like immediately jumping out as like, this is a thing which has the chance of coming up and you're fine with saying it, I don't want to be doing this?
Whoever could go, do you want me to?
No, you go, Candace. Hey, yeah. I was gonna kind of, yeah.
Okay. I would prefer not having small holes in things. Especially not stuff coming out of the holes.
Gross.
That's yucky. Mm.
Yeah, fine.
And I would prefer to not go super hard on throwing up.
Mm. Oh, sure.
If got possible. It. Yeah, no descriptions of that.
Yeah.
Yep,
and then,
yep,
like, no domestic violence, but I feel like that's not really going to come into play here. That's not really the energy.
Yeah,
of
sure.
Table,
so. It's good. No, it's good to mention.
Sure.
I'm scared to see a table that has a domestic violence vibe. I'm sorry to.
You know what I mean?
I immediately was like, what?
Well, it's like there some stories, you know, that just people feel like need to be told.
Is...
Yeah, not a table vibe, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at the Yeah. Can I clarify the no holes thing? Is that like do you mean like biological, or do you mean like I could picture it either way. Do you mean like in like a ghoul or something like that, like having the like holes?
So
or do
it's
you mean
cool
like...
if you have holes in your body, right? So like if you like are riddled with holes because someone used like a machine gun, I can handle that. But if you're talking about a situation where like a piece of flesh looks like a bee's honeycomb. That's
got
a bad time.
Got it.
I can handle looking at a honeycomb, but once it's in a flesh situation, right?
That's bad.
That's not
gotcha. Thank you. Now I get what you mean.
I'd also say excessive mushrooms growing out of people. I can have a little bit of that, but maybe not like. Maybe let's not get like really.
That's
like,
not
going
this franchise.
Yeah. We don't have to do that.
I would argue that's just enough for me. In The Last of Us. Like, that's the intro. Can't watch the intro.
Mm-hmm.
The intro is horrifying.
You know, I still haven't watched that show.
It's great, especially the episode with Ron Swanson. That's one of the most beautiful pieces of television I've ever seen.
I have heard. That's awesome. Yeah.
But yeah,
I cried to that episode so hard that I slept immediately for 14 hours afterwards.
I feel that. It's worth that.
I was on an airplane, so I had
that's even better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had, like...
the emotional air.
Yeah, emotional air.
Yeah.
Altitude cries. Yeah.
So beautiful.
The altitude cries. Yeah. That's what I was
thinking. I have rarely watched a film on a plane and not wept. Anything else that people are thinking of that they're good to say mention?
I don't have any big ones that I can think of that aren't stuff we've already talked about, but I am also more of I will kind of like check in the like as we're playing more because I can often things don't come to me until we're in the saddle.
That's also
so
fine.
I'll just be communicative.
Dylan and Candice would know this, but Serenik, you wouldn't. Because I have the session pretty like lined up, like I know what I'd be doing before game. I'm always like, these are the things that I'm going to be talking about. Are we vetoing anything before we do it?
My only one, it's typically fine because this like very rarely comes up again. And again, it doesn't feel like this type of table, but like specific graphic depictions of self-harm sometimes trip me up. So just like, you know, not that.
Yeah.
If somebody's like, I've been waiting for you inside this building and I have my gun trained on like an explosive device. Again, that's fine. Like, that's in theme, the world kind of thing. You get me.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Sounds good.
Have we got any hell yeahs? Things that we're like, this is a Fallout game. I want this shit in here. My favorite thing about Fallout is the freaks. I want some freaks in here. I love that stuff. The Master is my favorite villain.
Body horror.
Love it.
Yeah, I'd love body horror, gore, things being meshed with other things.
Hell yes. Sick.
Yeah, love body
Although
horror.
I will say nothing has creeped me out more in the past few months as when I watched Fallout and that lizard had fingers inside. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
I don't think that's necessary. Nobody needed to do that. That's just wild and inappropriate. You're not even grossing me out. You're like going beyond. You know what I mean? Like this feels like are you a seventh grader in class trying to make me laugh? Like is that the extremes you're willing to go to?
Yeah,
that's
really
funny.
That's how
I will say one of the like one of the meanest Fallout things that was done is calling the monsters centaurs. Because you think the name Centaur and you think, I know what that looks like. And then Fallout is like, no.
Yeah.
And I will leave it to the listener or people here to look that up for themselves.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good point. So, Candace, you've watched all of the show.
Yes.
Dylan, you watched some of the show. Do you know what a centaur looks like?
Oh, no.
About
that's terrible.
Yeah, I they're bad. Say, I was going to pull up a picture and specifically send it in the chat, and then I refrained.
I've terrible. Seen this thing. Yeah. I've seen this thing. I can't believe they call it that. Looks, yeah. That's so funny.
They're freaks.
Yeah, I've seen it as well.
We gotta have one of those.
I always thought centaurs looked a little bit like a Republican podcaster.
Uh-huh.
Like it's got like the I face of like Rush it. Limbaugh.
Yeah, I see it.
Kind of the vibe.
Spits poison.
Yeah, it feels like Tusk, that Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
god, it
does. That's the vibe.
Yes.
That's
oh my
the vibe for
god.
Me.
God. Why?
Yeah.
Is anybody gonna have all right. I have a couple. I wanna say I did not take the skill that lets me have a dog meat, but I would love if there's a dog meat around.
We can have a dog meat. I mean, the animals won't be in like mortal peril because I know that that's a common thing that people don't like. So it'll be, I tell you what, we'll do a Fallout 4 with it. Dog meat can go down, but we'll immediately get back up after the combat is done.
Mm. It's oh, like, love yeah. that. It's I love like, some video game logic. To
it's cool. video game it's logic. Yeah.
Heroic moments where we're protecting a defenseless animal.
Yeah.
Listen, if you think I won't protect that dog with my life, even if I know it can't die, I will suspend my disbelief so hard.
So hard, yeah.
We are professionals.
Yeah, yeah that's how we're going to act it, is that it will get up. Our characters don't know that. And then we all forget when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have another question. How do we all feel about flirting and romance?
I love a kiss in the game.
Bring it all to me.
Oh, you know.
My face is really fucked up because I'm a ghoul. Yeah. But
I mean, are you handsome?
Yeah, wildly.
This is a chat of monster fuckers.
I'm like a really like actually you know I was workshopping it in my head. I'm like I'm a pretty fuckable ghoul. So like
same.
Just want to let you guys know in case you're worried. I tried to make an uncool character, and now I'm a fuckable ghoul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love Dylan that you are the one asking this question. I won't go into our characters yet, but knowing what I know of your character.
The thing is, I don't think it's in the cards for me, but I want to see. I want to watch is the thing.
Okay. All right.
I'm just making sure that my kink is out there, guys. All right.
I just want to know that I have some good TV to watch while I'm
I have some good TV.
Hold on.
Let me, Dylan, I got.
While I'm recharging my batteries, I just want to make sure.
We got a cuck chair for you, pal.
That's
a cuck
beautiful.
Chair for me. Yeah, that's yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Grand. I do have one more, like check-in thing that I want to do, but I have to do it after we explain what our characters are.
Okay.
And then I can ask everybody's permission for this weird thing.
Cool.
Hell
yeah. Do we have any more hell yeahs? Anything that people are like, I want to see this. This is a thing I'm excited about.
I want to see cults. I want to see asinine.
I'm in one.
I want to see people whose perception of the world around them is altered so much because of it. I want to see people worshiping a water fountain.
Hey,
I want to see people.
Hey, babe. Spoiler alert: you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
I said.
Yay!
Yeah. Papa hungry for some freaking cults.
Right. Okay. We're gonna make a little tonal triangle for our game. So. The 3 points, the tonal triangle, which I've stolen from VTuber Letty, it is 3 points where we're just going to think about the tone of the game. Fallout, I think, is a perfect triangle of silly, serious, and scary. I am putting my dot. We're all going to put little dots in, and wherever that like average is kind of where we're going to be sat. I think we're going to go a little more into... It's basically dead in the middle, but edging a little bit toward serious.
Edging.
Edging.
Edging. Settle down.
Cuck.
Oh, this is a...
Yeah, that's the one.
You don't need a cock to edge. Come on.
No, you don't.
I think I'm liking this group you put together, Robin.
I'm gonna pull us a little towards comedy, but not too far out of the center.
No, that's
so
perfect.
I'm putting my dot there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's go, Candace. Candace, where do you?
What is the triangle?
So the triangle is silly, you have the triangle.
Silly, serious, and scary, the three corners, and like kind of where you want to put your dot, and then we're going to kind of make a little cluster that tells us where our vibe is going to land.
Where our game is going to sit.
Okay, go on ahead and put my dot... in the middle of scary and serious, but toward the comedy. You know what I'm saying?
I see you.
You know, you're mostly scary. Yes. Thank you.
And that truly is the vibes of Fallout. It's like, it's kind of all three at the same time. Mm-hmm. It lives pretty solidly in the middle.
Also, let me just say, Candace's dot is exactly where I would have put mine. Oh, so don't even ask me.
Love this.
Okay. Perfect. Beautiful.
Nick, do you want it to be more serious, more silly, more scary?
So my permanent issue, as we've experienced with anybody that's played with me, is I keep going, I'd like it to be serious and scary. And then by episode 2, I'm slipping myself into silly. So I'm manifesting here when I say, just put it pretty south towards scary and silly. Just get there. Get there for me and I'll be happy.
So get this. I think we have a good little zone to live in. Right there.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
Nice. That's
oh,
great.
Look at
that's
that constellation.
Our, that's good.
I'm flying
that's
a kite. I'm flying a kite in the city.
Yeah, babe. That's beautiful. Yeah. I love it. Fantastic. I'm actually obsessed with that. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Aces. Right. Now we're on to the game, baby.
I will say, though, if I may pay a compliment.
Please do.
I have been in a horror game with Robin. And while Robin is, in fact, a deeply silly individual, Robin is very good at bringing everybody around.
Yeah.
Robin's good at laying down the scary hammer where you're like, everybody's being real stupid. And then Robin's like, your fucking face falls off. And you're like, oh.
It's very face.
Well, you're joking, right? No.
Oops, made you melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can be as silly as you want. Kappa's really silly and then was not silly at all.
Yeah.
Robin stamped it out.
Yeah, what was the TD Stank game? Was that with you, Dylan?
Yes, it was.
TD Stank
is the thing that comes up most between us.
TD Stank. That was a deeply silly character, and he was that dog Stank, and it was by the end of it, I was sobbing. I was fucking crying.
You were full crying. Yeah.
It's a good thing you had that abbreviation.
Oh yeah, TD. Well, that's the thing is, it was originally just TD Stank, and then halfway through, someone went, "What the fuck does TD stand for?" And I went. That dog?
Yeah.
That dog?
Yeah. Yes. I remember that.
All right.
So, I remember realizing TD Stank. Yeah.
This is beautiful.
Yeah. Stupid. It was never meant to be that, but it was. But no, I only say that because I look forward to being dragged into serious and scary.
Perfect. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about our setting. It is 2293. Past all the games. The land of New York City has three major factions with a very tentative peace. The Kings of Mahat, a group occupying the island of Mahat, their leader, Arthur, established a Gek on the island and then went missing years ago. Their current mysterious ruler, Merlin, is trying to find a replacement to reestablish the divine rule of kings. The Ladies of the Lake, a group of sailors who patrol the rivers around Mahat, they worship an underwater statue that they call the Lady of the Lake, ruling that they cannot step foot on solid ground. They've been hiring people to raid buildings and bring back all the tech they find to their major boats. And then Brook Lane, a settlement on the mainland of New York City. Brook Lane used to be allied with the Kings of Mahat before their leader, Francis Morgoth, who is known to many as Morgana, left Mahat. Although Brook Lane on the surface is safe, many people avoid it as creatures have been stalking the night and kidnapping civilians, and strange noises have been heard under the vents. The Kings are currently expanding their search for a new king and is settling lightly in Brook Lane. That is our base setting. We're going to do a little talk about characters, and I'm going to ask everyone three major questions. I'm going to ask us, what is a faction that you have had a positive experience with? What is a faction that you've had a negative experience with? And then we're going to kind of talk about what was the negative and positive experience. And then which of the other players' characters do you know and you've had a run-in with before? That can be positive, negative. We can have fully questions with that. But it's just so there is at least one connection between each of us. Who wants to talk about their character first?
Okay.
I was going to say, I would absolutely love to go first, but I have to look something up for the name real quick. So I'll go right after Dylan.
So I'm going to be playing a Mr. Handy robot named Mrs. Trimbley. and she is she's level 3. Because you gave us a little bit of a wiggle room between 1 and 5. She's level 3, and she is a nanny bot. She was built to care for a child, and I think she was caring for one specific child before the fallout of everything. Mm-hmm. And now has been just sort of in, obviously, the wasteland of Mahat, caring for all of the irradiated pigeons and such around. And I think that it's like one, she has like one at a time, one pigeon. And so the thing that I wanted to check in with everybody is, and we can get Candace's opinion too on this because I know they just stepped away. But my little wish is that these irradiated pigeons die pretty frequently and she just gets a new one and cares for it. But if that's too much, we can just give her one pigeon and she can take care of that one pigeon. But my
what a weird and unique request.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. I'm about to drop my request on you, Candace. Candace, my request that may be a line, and I promise, as happy as I am with this idea, I am okay with it if it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Mrs. Trimbley is now, because she has no child to care for, she's taking care of irradiated pigeons around the island of Mahat.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial thought and wish is that these pigeons die pretty often and she just gets a new one every time. But if that were uncomfortable, I would just give her one pigeon that she can take care of the whole time. But the bit I have in my head is that she takes care of a pigeon, it dies, and then she gets a new pigeon and cares for it for a while, and then it dies.
You should pigeon to your heart's content. I'm just perfectly enamored with that idea. My question is, does she know that it's a different pigeon each time? Do they each have a different name, or is it all just one and the same pigeon?
Just one pigeon.
I'm leaning towards like she's just like, oh, there you are.
Okay, great. I was hoping you would say that. Excellent. Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. Thrilled to have it. Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Beautiful. Oh, love it deeply. Okay, so you've lived in Mahat for the entire time since the bombs dropped. What is a faction of these three major factions that you think you have a positive run-in with, or you just have positive thoughts about? This doesn't mean you have to be allied with them in any way. You've just had like a positive time with them.
Yeah, I think that Mrs. Trimbley likes the Ladies of the Lake. One, they don't bother her, and that's very nice of them. Mm-hmm. And also it seems like, you know, they are taking good care of each other, and that's also nice. And I don't think that Mrs. Trimbley would have ever gone out to sea, you know, I don't think she would have met them specifically. I think that, you know, she admires them from afar and maybe just sort of has like a little bit of a fascination with them.
Sure. Beautiful. What faction do you think you have a negative experience with?
The Kings of Mahat. They're everywhere and they are just constantly in my business, and I think that and they always want something, I feel, and I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I have young to take care of, and and I just think that they're so needy, and I think it would be better if they were more self-sufficient like those nice ladies out there.
Beautiful. Do you want to save your character question for when we've met all of the people? Let me meet everybody. Meet everyone. We'll ask that question after we've met everyone. Dylan, do you want a pop corner? Do you want a pop corner character intro?
Nick.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Whoa, Dylan, are we on the Citadel right now? What does it just feel like we landed the Normandy for shore leave?
Oh, Robin, that's just because we're listening to one of the deep space songs from Pocket Bard. Immersive audio made simple.
Oh, is that the app that lets you add music and soundscapes to your RPG sessions? With 20 scene locations, soundscapes, and customizable tavern scenes completely free?
Yes, and it's all controllable in a very simple-to-use app. And with a subscription, Pocket Bard has even more soundscapes and scenes that you can fully customize.
I bet with an app like that, Game Masters can prep less and play more. By weaving immersion into their games using interactive audio that's accessible, intuitive, and responsive.
Are we on Citadel News Network or something right now? Because if we are, I gotta go look for a Turian real quick.
Yes, Dylan, we are. And we're here with a quick announcement. The team behind Elcor Hamlet is back with Elcor Catcher in the Rye to remove any misunderstandings to the quality of Holden Caulfield's character. Also, the Pocket Bard app is free to download and already has 17 forever free fantasy essential scenes to get you started.
And it's available on iOS and Android.
Tell us about them, baby.
All right. I'm playing Crash the Pants Cooper.
Hell yeah, so, baby.
They call me the Pants because I typically have to wear the pants in every situation I'm in. I'm from the Seattle, Washington area. I'm a ghoul who's been alive since before the bombs dropped. And I have traversed a good majority of North America in pursuit of a good old-fashioned blue-collar job. Mm-hmm. My goal everywhere I've gone has been to find some honest work for honest men, and every time I find it, I gotta kill someone about it, and it doesn't make me happy. So I've tried unionizing every form of work throughout the wasteland, including the mercenary work I've done. No one sticks around long enough to do so. I tried a lot in the Midwestern area to unionize all of the bounty hunters, and someone tried put a bounty on my head for it. That's how it goes. But I've now been in New York for the last 40 some odd years. I was a part of the Great Ghoul Migration after the life button was pressed. Can't remember the name of the thing. The Geck. Yes, there we go.
Yes.
Life button. Wow. Yeah, I feel as though there was a pretty big migration of ghouls to go try and, especially pre-bomb ghouls, to go experience some tried and true, good old-fashioned real life again. And so I've been here since the Kings of Mahat. Some of the people that I came over with, they joined them and have been trying to.
The Kings of Mahat have a lot of ghouls there. They're big into radiation over there, so
I'm Crash the Pants Cooper. I like that my name's Crash, but I still have a nickname because Crash isn't the nickname.
Crash is just the name.
My good experience, I would say, is with the
we got the Kings of Mahat, we got Brook Lane, and we got the Ladies.
Oh, there we are. Yeah, a lot with Brook Lane. So that's where it comes to how I started what I currently do, which is I'm the bus driver around Brook Lane.
Beauty.
For the most part. I'll drive across the half bridge and take the boat over to Mahat sometimes. For the most part, I live in Brook Lane. I hopped on as a bus driver because no one else was. And sometimes you got to wear the pants.
Yeah.
And I've had good experiences with them because I've just, I don't like the Kings of Mahat very much because a lot of those were my brothers. A lot of those were my brothers in my traversal across the states.
Were you not welcomed in?
They tried to. I feel as though I was a part of the first group of ghouls that were joining into the Mahat, but like when we joined in, because the Geck was already dropped, they'd already had the stabilized, semi-stable faction over there. But then all the you know, religious fanaticism and we're God kings started happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you're not. You're David. And I saw you. I saw you shit your pants.
What do you mean, kings? This is America.
It's not even like from a patriotic standpoint. It's that like the people that think they're gonna be kings, like I knew, and they used to be freaks and still are freaks, and I don't want to be ruled by freaks. I have one freak that can rule me, and that's me. So I've had my bad experiences because they warped all my friends' minds, made them all into little fanatics and freaks. And I love Brook Lane because they're just trying to get by.
They're just trying to get by. Love. Beauty. Sarah had a lot to say during that, so I am going to forcefully shoot it.
Did I? Was I having loud opinions? I just love this game. I don't realize what I'm saying. Amazing. Fantastic. I'm going to be playing a child of Adam, and her name is Bix or Bixie, after the B-61 atomic bomb. Everyone gets a name. Hooray. She is early 20s, big radiation fan, fan of radiation, and has recently been sent out because she's just so good at what she does, and she's just such an approachable person once you get past the like 5'10" built like a brick butch of it all. And she's really nice and sweet. And so they're like, this is a good charismatic person to send out into the wasteland to start like brokering treaties with some other people. Yeah. Maybe show that the child of Adam isn't a cult.
That sounds an awful lot like the good news.
It's a group of people with like-minded ambitions. listen, we're just here to help people. And so, yeah, I'd say in terms of factions that she gets along with, doesn't get along with, I've completely switched. I have a totally new idea now than what I was going to say originally, which is that I think that Bix is in pretty good with the Kings of Mahat because her leader was like, these guys are radiation heads. It's going to be easy to like make a nice truce with them, make nice with them. So yeah. Bix is definitely very on the side of the Kings of Mahat because the father of Adam said that we're on the side of Kings of Mahat. Now, she's not so hot with the ladies of the lake because Bix is what we call a lesbian who doesn't get it yet. And they make her nervous. She's met them. They've been really nice to her. And she had to run away.
Great.
So,
good.
Not having a great time with them.
Love it. How long do you think Bixie has been in New York City for?
Probably like 3 to 6 months. Not long.
Beautiful. Fresh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Fresh.
Love. Perfect.
I have a question.
With our final character that we're introducing
to
this play.
So, I apologize to anyone who's listening to this that's upset that I am
I have
Fallout
an answer,
baby.
Hopefully.
Apologies in advance for my ignorance. I recognize that this is a well-beloved franchise. Necropolis. Vault 12 happens. We found Necropolis, right? We're talking about ghoul history here. It says here that by the spring of 2084... a man named Set seized power over one of the groups and wrested control from the original person who was in charge. So considering that this is far flung in the future from there, is it possible, because there definitely were like vault ghouls who were peaceful, and Set was like, ugh, I guess I'll still like support you and stuff, even though I think you're weak as shit. So I'm wondering if my ancestors packed up and moved to the East Coast and was like, fuck this noise. We're going to go and do it right. So if there's like old vaults on the East Coast, I would love for my ancestors to try to do a do-over and like really like live the vault life. But they're all ghouls that are just trying to like make ends meet.
Love that. Yeah.
Cool.
There is... No, I love it. I think that's absolutely perfect. 100%. There is a vault in this setting that I have, but we can also just make a new vault right now and just have it be vaults. All vaults have like a weird science experiment that's going on at the same time as the vault's existence. You can be a part mm-hmm. of the vault that was already there, and I'll just tell you now about what that experiment was, and then your people moved in. It's in the middle of Manhattan. Or we can have one on the outside, and we can just goof around and just make a weird science experiment, which isn't that relevant to your ancestors, because you would have all mm-hmm. moved in and then settled. And you, because you are a vault dweller ghoul, right? You are yes. just fresh faced out of the vault for the first time.
Yeah, I think I came from a similar vault as the one that you see in the show, where it's like a little civilization, a little town that's perfect and idyllic and all that stuff. It was very much an experiment to see if people could thrive. But then when that went bad and everybody turned into ghouls, like my vault was like, well, like the people of my community were like, well, why can't we have that? Like, we're still peaceful people. Like, we can still have that. Yeah. Just because we're ghouls doesn't mean we can't have what what was our promise, right? Like, to them, it's like the promise of
it's the American
vault
dream.
Tech.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, why do we have to give that up? So when they move, they set up the same exact vault, but everybody's a ghoul.
Beautiful. Perfect. Yeah. I love it. No, aces. Yeah. Cool, cool, cool.
So she's very sheltered, literally, and is very kind of wide-eyed. She understands like the way of the world, and I think she knows that there's a world outside of the vault. I feel like the reason that she would leave the vault would be to try and like almost like Rumspringa, right? Like to figure out like, do I belong in this society, or like, do I want to go out there and see what there is to see? Like, no one's keeping anybody prisoner. People are just like, listen, in here, no one's going to be weird to you because you're a ghoul. Like, people are afraid of us out there, right? There is kind of, there are scary ones of us out there. And she's like, how bad could it be? Everything's wonderful. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make sure that people understand who we are, and I'm going to understand who they are, and I'll be back. Is there anything you need while I'm gone? Like, this is a pilgrimage. I'm going to go. I'm going to learn more about myself. So I'm wondering, what is the position of the Kings of Mahat with like Set? Do they have like a relationship with Set? Like, are they like pro that dude? Like, would they have traveled or heard word knowing that they're all kind of ghoulish as well?
They may have heard word at the time that, because the Kings of Mahat originally, I told this to all the players, but this is a thing for the listeners. The Kings of Mahat were originally West Coast, and then they traveled East Coast to found this place. But at the time, I think only a few of them became ghouls. So the person who's known as Morgana, who's the head of Brook Lane, is a ghoul. The de facto leader, even though people haven't seen Merlin of the Kings of Mahat, is a ghoul. They have some super mutants on the team in like higher up in the Kings. So they are super fine with radiation. You hear stories of a lot of these Kings, as everyone would kind of know them. They have a group of people called mages who wander the wastes. They cast magic in quotation marks. Most of them, if not all of them, are ghouls. So yeah, they're very pro. They're very pro ghoul. They may have known Set at the time or like heard stories, but I think it's just separated enough that they have only that. They've only heard stories and they're like, hey, we all have to make it on our own in the waste. So hey.
Okay. Yeah. Are they like kneel and submit to us? We are the knights, or we are the kings. Like, are they like that, or are they kind of just their own little thing, and they have their own system?
They are trying to unite people under one banner.
Okay,
which is, we're gonna have a king. We're reenacting the royal family. Actually, since we as characters, and you know, other people have had a lot of interactions with the kings, and also have, you know, kind of experienced them from their, you know, their origins to now. You know that their big goal is to they love King Arthur and all of those old stories, and they, as far as anyone is aware, don't believe that they're stories. They believe that they are real, and that is a perfect society. People were happy in that society. Let's just bring it back. Let's just do it again.
Okay, so...
So they are a little bit of like, hey, we have to do this because this is the best way for us as people to survive and thrive.
Okay, so that vibes with my vault's vibes. So I feel like a dinner party has absolutely had to have happened where those guys come over for dinner or something like that to talk about uniting under the same banner. Like, I feel like they have very similar thoughts about their way of life, and I feel like my people would probably be easily talked into joining that kind of thing for safety. So I feel like my character's conflict is, like, good. I think I have a good experience with the Knights of Mahat. I mean, the Kings of Mahat. I think I have a good experience with them. But I also think that part of the reason my character wants to leave is because she's kind of like, aren't we fine the way that we are? Like, aren't we good the way that we are? Like, why do we need the protection of these other guys?
That's right. Perfect.
She's trying to figure out, like, what the reality is there. And I think that the people that she's had a bad experience with, and I don't think that she's really even had an experience. Brooke Lane is not sympathetic to the Knights, to the Kings of Mahat, right?
No, not necessarily. No, there is, even though it is kind of like a tiny bit of peace, it is there is friction because Francis, who anyone who is allied with the Kings will call Morgana. She used to be part of them and then seceded and left. The Ladies of the Lake is also not friendly with them, but the Kings named them. They didn't have a faction name before, and they named them the Ladies of the Lake, and they were like, sure, whatever. So it's kind of a thing where they're it is a tentative piece, but there is, like, you know, you would know that it's only like, it could be broken at any moment.
So I feel like then my character would probably not have, like, any relationship with those other two other than, like, the stories you hear before bed of, like, the terrors outside, right? The women have to make do. They have to lift heavy things and defend themselves on the open sea. Don't you understand?
Yeah.
It's not the paradise you think. Is that what you want? If you're out there, you're going to be out there 5 minutes and you're going to get eaten. And my character's like, what do you mean? I'm tough.
Cool.
And they're like, not like that.
Cool. So we want to be positive kings and negative the other. Oh, neutral the other two?
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually love that. That's great.
Raised to be critical of them. Because they're not like us, right? Very xenophobia. But because, like, we are a protected kind of class of human, and we're afraid of what they're going to, like, bring upon us because of who we are and how we look. But she's like, surely there's more to life than this.
Yeah. Love it. Damn, that's great. Beautiful. Nick, you had a note?
Yeah, I was going to say, since I guess when I was developing, I guess I forgot some parts of the installation of the Knights of Mahat. Would it make more sense if I came over before, like, with them in the West Coast traversal, or linked up with them through?
You could have if you wanted. I mean, you also could have heard of it after they enacted the Gek, and I think that's Geks being activated are a big deal. I imagine.
I'll stick to that then. I think it works out better if I. Yeah, we all caught wind of the happenings, and then I helped kind of usher a lot of the ghouls back. Okay, yeah, then I'll stick with that.
Also, just for the gang who might be listening that's not as savvy on Fallout lore, do we want to explain what a Gek is?
Yes, that is such a good idea, actually. A Gek is a Garden of... it's a Garden of Eden?
Garden of Eden creation kit.
Creation kit, that's it.
Oh my god, I don't know what is that?
So
what
Garden of
that?
Eden creation kit is a briefcase that has the tools to make, like, re-fertilize the wasteland. It, like, births trees and grass and flowers and plants and all this. The wasteland is very wasteland. A Gek is built to repopulate with nature. There is only a few of them in existence. They are hard to come across. There is an entire game trying to pick up a Gek.
Oh, but they're real.
They're real.
It's not like a
it's not like
a rumored thing.
No,
that's
it's
like
a real
thing that exists.
Yeah.
And as far as I understand, that has been deployed in the ruins of Manhattan. Or they say that they have one?
No, it has fully been deployed.
Okay.
Yeah. There are rumors of a second that they hold, but one has definitely been deployed. Manhattan is trees and nature.
Central Park's blooming.
Communities. Central Park is loving it. Yeah. It's a nice sight. It's very different to the rest of the wasteland. Who wants to know each other and have a light bit of a relationship? Dylan, since we started with you, we'll just go in the same order again.
Yeah, I have some ideas.
Perfect. Yeah, it could be positive, negative. We can give prompt questions, but this is also just like a, hey, do you want to have met and this happened to us?
Yeah. I think I want to pitch something to you, Sarah. Can Mrs. Trimbley have met your character before and have and tried to baby you in the past and specifically tries to bully you into going to talk to the ladies? Because she likes them so much and she knows that they must be so good. She's definitely not understanding where your fear is coming from, but she is absolutely trying to help you get over it.
Amazing.
Not
only do I love that, I'm not gonna be like, I think she loves it.
Like, really? I think she
loves being babied.
Yeah.
I think there's no fucking fight. Like, when you try to do the, like, I think you should go over, she's like, stop. But, like, it's not like it's like a teenager whose mom is being like, well, that was a nice girl you had over. And they're like, shut up. Nuh-uh. Yes, I'm very down for that.
Perfect.
Love it.
Thank you. And your character's name is what again?
Bix.
Bix, thank you so much.
B-I-X.
Got it.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a general knowing of any, like, transit driver, you know, transit organizer. I feel like I probably know I don't know everybody, but they have seen me. I have seen their faces.
Yeah.
Might not have struck up conversation.
You're like
everybody.
One of the only working vehicles. You have a working bus, which is wild. Yeah.
Which is wild. And a lot of it, and everyone is constantly asking me how I fuel the engine. Because, and I have to I have to imply that there might have been more Gex if it weren't for me and my bus, you know. No, I'm just, you know, I'm single-handedly ruining the environment. But
you've reinvented fracking somehow.
Yeah, I'm my nuclear-powered 30-person bus.
Oh yeah, it is Fallout. Yeah, you absolutely have a nuclear-powered bus.
Yeah, a nuclear-powered bus that I completely make an unusable anytime I'm not there so people don't steal it.
Hell yeah. Love it.
Can Mrs. Trimbley ride your bus every day to run errands even though she doesn't need to at all?
And not only that, I wait at the stop for you.
Yeah. Oh,
I keep my stop.
And everybody love Mrs. Trimbley.
Yes. Yeah. Anytime I drop you off to run errands, I ask you how they went and we have a minor conversation. And then I sit there looking into the mirror going, God, I wish I wasn't talking to only, I need more friends. Like you and I are friends. But I miss the emotional connection I can make with other beings that
are organic creatures. Beings.
Living creatures, sure. Organic creatures. Yeah. Oh my God.
Love. Cute.
I don't know who I would know.
How have you been out at all?
I'm
or is
sheltered.
This like your first
I kind of wonder because I made a level one character. So
do you want to have it that you literally have just stepped outside? It's like almost day one of you stepping
I'll
outside.
I'll be honest.
Oh my God.
Because I know so little about the franchise, I feel like that is appropriate.
Yes. My protagonist, Candace.
I feel like that's appropriate. But like meeting all of y'all is immediately going to change her worldview. Like this character, I have named her. I have a name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her name is Philomena Walcott. But she goes by
That's
Philly.
Good.
And
got Philomena the
Philly.
Fucking
Philly.
Yeah.
So Philly genuinely believes that with like a kind smile, a genuine heart, and a bit of pluck, that she can carve a little spot out in the world for herself and won't ever have to question her place in society ever again. Like she's like I packed my bags, Ma. I'm getting on the bus, and I'm going to find my true horizons. Like, that's...
Where does someone go to be a hooker in this town?
Basically. I just want to earn a hard-earned dollar. Like,
and I feel so bad for you, because you got on the bus, and you came out of the vault on the stop, and I went...
Oh, no. Yeah, I can tell you right now, our very first conversation was, "Hey, mister. Oh, gosh, what a lovely day it is outside."
Oh.
And I didn't say a word. I just...
I understand. My uncle's also a ghoul a few words. I'm going to sit right over here, and if you change your mind, I'll be listening.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, what I love them too much, actually.
That is emerging that I love, that I am going to build into, is that, Nick, your character has lovely interactions with Mrs. Trimbley the robot, and then goes, "God, fuck, I need to make friends with more people." And then the two people who consistently ride your bus, you're like, "I hate these people."
No, yeah, yes.
You got this wide-eyed, starry-eyed ghoul, and then you got Bix, who is like a radiation super fan. And
the first time you saw me, you went, "Oh, you're a real ghoul. What was it like when the radiation filled your body?" And I just get like awful flashbacks to my flesh melting off me. And I'm like,
I don't try to interview you. I go, "Oh yeah, someone who gets it." And I do something real weird with my body.
you disconnect your joints, and I'm like, "Cool trick, bud."
I fill your engine up to full, and I go, "That came from my blood." And you're like, "What the fuck?"
You start doing it, and I'm like, hey, no, you can't take that.
I'm going to call that my fare. And then
I've got a shitty sign that says two caps, and I go to point at the sign, and then you fill up my tank, and I'm like, "Yeah. All right."
I can do that, but I'm going to say that she can.
Oh, she can now.
Only for the bus. You've got
only for the bus. Yeah. Only for the bus. It does not transfer anywhere else.
I've done a lot of testing.
I can't wait to start playing these characters. I'm going to freak out. I'm freaking out.
So I'm now the silliest, the person who's fearful of being silly is now the straight man.
We got you.
We fixed it.
Yeah, every life-threatening situation any of you guys are in, I'm begrudgingly taking care of things, and then I'm like... "Guys, I have to, my shift starts at 6, I gotta go home, I can't trapeze through, oh, we want to take a long rest, we want to take 8 hours, alright, that's so funny.
Amazing. Sarah, do you have a connection? You have a Miss Trimbley, Mrs. Trimbley, Dylan has a Miss, okay,
is there anyone else? Bus.
You ride the bus, that's true.
Right on the bus,
I do like the idea that everyone rides the bus. The bus riders is what the group is called.
The bus ride is what brings us all together.
We're called the low fare.
System gang.
It's the bus
you
ride.
You meet on a bus.
We're the low fare.
New York City, baby.
Yeah, we're the low fare. You get us for cheap and you take what you get.
Yeah. I feel like the first month that Philly left the vault, she would just get on the bus and stay on it the entire time until you dropped her back at home, and then she would go back inside, and that was like her getting out of the world.
You keep asking for directions to places, and I'm like, two blocks that, take a left, and then you went, "Cool."
Mm-hmm.
And then sit back down.
And then sit right there. And I'm like, "No, two blocks down and take a left." Mm-hmm. And you write it down.
Yeah, she has a little notebook.
Yeah.
You stay at the stop for 10 seconds extra.
She's filling out her map.
Yeah. Hey, I was like, "The city's already well mapped. It's already well mapped out. Nothing's changed too much." And you turn it around, and there's daisies growing out of Central Park. And like your legend says the pants said this one, or like pants loves, and there's like you draw pants as the legend for places that I frequent.
Recommended spots.
Recommended recommended spots by pants. I'm like, yeah, if you're stuck in the middle of Manhattan and you need to take a shit, you don't want to be weird, you can go to that spot. And you're like, pants says this.
Excrement in this area is excrement okay.
But there's a few times when Pants is like, hey, don't go here. There's a lot of rad scorpions. You will die. And it's like, places to know. And you write it down, but it's petting under zoo. The same letter of recommended areas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rad scorpions sound cool. That's why they're called rad.
Cool. Yeah, cool scorpions.
I can't remember what word Pants used. Cool?
Yeah, good scorpions. Good cool fun scorpions. Also, I only just realized, Philly is the only one who comes from a vault. So, Philly, you have a Pip-Boy, and no one else has a Pip-Boy. I'm pretty sure.
Ooh! Oh. That's nice. Cool.
Which is fun. That's protagonist stuff right there, having a Pip-Boy.
Oh, my God. Yes, protagonist. I love when there's a protagonist. That's cool.
Beautiful. Well... With that, unless anyone has anything to add, we have a bunch of characters. Next time we all meet on a call, we're going to be adventuring through the wasteland, baby!
On a Fall bus. Out.
On a bus.
On a bus.
Oh, no.
I'm changing the subtitle of the yeah. to Fall Out on a Bus. Beautiful gag. Thank you all for listening to Fallout the Kings of Mahat. I have some other thank yous. I would love to thank our beautiful guests, Nick Meyer, Candace McAfee, Sarah Is Coffee, Dylan Apalian. I would like to thank Modifius for sponsoring this show and Many Sided Media for giving us the opportunity to expand what Dorkspawn can be. If you're looking at the Dorkspawn feed and questioning why there's so many episodes, well, that is because Dorkspawn is a show that Dylan and I host, where we play choices-heavy video games like a book club. So we've already done the entire Dragon Age saga, we've just wrapped on the Mass Effect trilogy, and now, thematically, we've started the best game of all time, Fallout New Vegas. We have a whole laundry list of games that we're going to be covering, and it is a great time. It is literally just me and Dylan being best friends and chatting. I love it so much. It is the highlight of my week. Join us every Friday to talk about video games and stories. And join us next week for the first installment of Fallout the Kings of Mahat. We'll see you there, gang. And remember, war never changes. Felt cool doing that. I loved it. Yeah.